Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, and I trust you're doing well. So, I want to get into a situation here in Tennessee. This has been national news, international news, and I want you to hear from me today, and I want you to hear from me as a Tennessean, born and raised, and of course we broadcast this program from Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship radio station, KWAM, the radio station I own, the conservative blowtorch of the Mid-South. But I want you to hear from me that at this moment, people across Tennessee are not lynching black people. We're not riding around in Klan robes burning crosses. We do not own slaves. And there is currently no slave trading ships docked along the Mississippi River in Memphis, Tennessee. I just want you to hear that from me. Because if you've been watching any of the media coverage about what's been happening at the Tennessee State Capitol, you would actually believe that people are being enslaved in the state of Tennessee, and that is simply not true. Ladies and gentlemen, by now you know that one of the things that really sets me off is when people play the race card. I find that incredibly offensive. And the Democrats know that is the weakness of the Republican Party. When the Republicans are winning the argument, no matter what it is, you could be having a debate right now over whether Yoda is better than Baby Yoda. And if a Democrat stepped in and said, you're a racist, it ends the conversation. It ends the debate. And so the Democrats know that they can win any argument. It doesn't matter what the argument's about. It could be about politics. It could be about sports. It could be about entertainment. It really doesn't matter. The Democrats know that all they have to do is accuse you of being a racist, and you're going to back off. You're going to back down. Well, I got news for you, folks. We're not backing down on this radio program. Never have, never will. They've called me every name under the book. And they can say what they want to about me. They can say that I'm a raging racist. But you know what? I funded a lot of scholarships for minority students over the years. We go above and beyond to reach out to the minority communities in this country. And I don't do that as a way of pandering. I do it because that's what we're called to do. Because I do not see color on this radio program. We are all Americans. And as a Christian man, I believe that we are all made from Almighty God. We are created in His image. All of us. And it offends me when I see people out there trying to divide this nation, trying to stoke a race war in this nation. I want to tell you what happened yesterday at the Tennessee State Capitol. They've been dealing with an issue going back to the shooting at the Christian school in Nashville, where you had six good Christian people, three good Christian children, who were gunned down by a transgender terrorist. And the Democrats in this state are using that incident as a way to attack law-abiding gun owners here in the Volunteer State. And there's been a raging debate on Capitol Hill in Nashville about how to protect kids. As a matter of fact, one of the measures that the Republicans have advanced will provide armed security guards at every school in the state, which I think is a great idea. Whether we hire people or we have volunteers, we have retired military veterans, we have retired law enforcement, maybe we have just dads that are, okay, moms too, but we have law-abiding moms and dads that are volunteering to stand guard at the local schools. But the Democrats don't want that. They want to get rid of all the guns. And so the Democrats in Tennessee are a pretty nefarious bunch. They love to play the race card. They hate guns, and they want to take away our freedom. Now, there's a big problem, though, because in Tennessee, the state house is controlled by the Republicans. We talk a lot about California and how there's a supermajority of Democrats that control California, which is why that state is quickly becoming a wasteland. But in Tennessee, there is a supermajority of Republicans, and they control everything. And therefore, life in the volunteer state is pretty darn good. And that's why people from California are moving here. The problem is they're bringing their politics with them. And we don't like that. So there was a big argument, and it's been going on for about 2 weeks now. And you have these three lawmakers, Gloria Johnson, who is a white woman, Democrat, and you have these two black guys that are very young. They're actually younger, I believe, than AOC, and they're more radicalized than AOC. These people make AOC look like Mitt Romney. Well, no, that's not a compliment. No, it's not a compliment. I'm just telling you. So one of the guys is actually from here in the Memphis area. His name is ex-representative Justin Pearson. And this guy, you're about to hear from this guy. He is, he's got the big, the power fro going on. He uses he kind of mixes in MLK voice and Barack Obama voice and Preacher Man voice and Malcolm X voice and play into the cameras, this guy. Well, anyway, the three of them got up and last week and they tried to incite a riot on the floor of the House of Representatives. Thank goodness for the Tennessee Highway Patrol. They are tasked with protecting the lawmakers and they did their job. But these three lawmakers broke a number of rules regarding House decorum. They actually had a megaphone, and they were leading a protest from the floor of the House, which is against the rules. And so the Republicans said, we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to be ruled by the mob. We're going to take action. And they did. And yesterday, there were votes to expel all three members. Now, here's where it gets interesting. And I also have to admit something else. We have rhinos in this state, Republicans in name only, a lot of moderate Republicans. And one of those moderate Republicans happens to be from right here in Memphis, Tennessee. His name is John Gillespie. And this guy decided when it came time, so first of all, they voted out the black dude, the first black dude, when it came to, and the white woman was sort of sandwiched in between the two. So when it came time to expel the white woman, Mr. Gillespie, along with six other Republicans, either voted no, not to expel, or did not vote. And as a result, she was able to maintain her seat by one vote. If the rhinos had done the right thing, she would have been expelled. Now, as I was watching all of this go down, I thought to myself, there's no way they're going to expel the second black guy because that's going to look terrible. The optics of that would be terrible. But the reality of it is all three of them needed to get the heave-ho. But because of rhino Republicans, they were not able to get rid of the white woman. So now you have this big race narrative. So this guy, Justin Pearson, comes up, and he at first appeared to be contrite, and his argument was that he was brand new and just didn't know the rules, so he was ignorant of the rules. And I was listening to the guy, and I thought, okay, well, he screwed up, but maybe he saw the error of his ways. And then this guy explodes. I mean explodes in rage. This is being broadcast all over the nation. I want you to hear this guy comparing himself to black Jesus Christ crucified on a cross. Cut six.
Friday, the government decided that my Savior Jesus, a man that was innocent of all crimes except fighting for the poor, fighting for the marginalized, fighting for the LGBTQ community, fighting for those who are single mothers, fighting for those who are ostracized, fighting for those pushed to the periphery. My Savior, my black Jesus, he was lynched by the government on Friday. And they thought that all hope had been lost. All the outside, it rained and it thundered and everybody said everything was over. And it was some black women who stood at the cross. It was some black women who watched what the government did to that boy named Jesus. They were witnesses, as you have been witnesses to what is happening in the anti-democratic state of Tennessee. They were witnesses to what was going on. And I got to tell you, it got quiet on Saturday. Yes, I tell you, it was a sad day on Saturday. All hope seemed to be lost. Representatives were thrown out of the state house. Democracy seemed to be at its end. Seemed like the NRA and gun lobbyists might win. But oh, that was good news for us. I don't know how long this Saturday in the state of Tennessee might last. But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes. Resurrection is a promise, and it is a prophecy. It's a prophecy that came out of the cotton fields. It's a prophecy that came out of the lynching tree. It's a prophecy that still lives in each and every one of us in order to make the state of Tennessee the place that it ought to be in. So I've still got hope because I know we are still here and we will never quit.
All right. So after that, the Republicans voted and they kicked his ass out of the state house. The Memphis Messiah. This guy literally compared himself to Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. You say, Todd, why did you say ass? It's Good Friday. Yes, I mean, it's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. You can look it up. So this guy's been given the heave-ho. He literally called all of the Republicans during his long remarks, and it was a long day. They actually called all the white Republicans racist and white supremacist. Earlier in the day, they actually called, they accused the Republicans of not actually greeting them in the hallway as they passed by. And they said that the Republicans viewed them as uppity N-words. I can't repeat the language on the radio. So now you've got everybody, President Biden, Barack Hussein Obama, everybody coming after the state of Tennessee and coming after these Republicans. I say God bless these Republicans. They stood their ground. Shame on the rhinos out there, the John Gillespies of the party, but God bless the Republicans who had a backbone, who had a moral center, and they stood up and they acted like Republicans ought to act. And I know the White House, oh, it's just racism, all those white old men. And you know what they did? They shut up the black man. Sit down, black man. That's what they did. That's KJP. That's what she's saying from the podium. But you know what? I want you to think about something. How many weeks now has the white Biden administration been silencing the African reporter in the White House press briefing room? That's been going on a long time. So is that racist, ladies and gentlemen? They accused the black man from Africa of violating decorum in the White House press briefing room. Is that racist? I think not. Or is it? What is it? So I say this, good for the Republicans. This is a lesson for every Republican majority legislature in the nation. You stand your ground. You don't allow these, you don't allow anybody to go out there and try to convince you that you're a racist. You're not a racist. This is despicable. By the way, this Justin Pearson guy you just heard from, Black Jesus, do you know what his full-time job? He is a community organizer. This guy is a professional rabble-rouser, just like his hero, his Lord and Savior, Chicago Jesus, Barack Hussein Obama. So I know you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff about my beloved state. There is a boycott effort underway. They're trying to boycott every business. You're going to have protest marches. I hope nothing burns down. I don't know. Planned Parenthood busing all these school children to the state capitol. You had all these children in the state capitol shouting blank, blank fascist. I can't even say the language these children were using in the Tennessee state capitol. Foul language. But this is exactly how the Democrats behave, just like the Islamic radicals, the Muslim terrorists. They put the children in front. They want the children to bear the brunt. That's what these people do. All right, look, we got to take a break here. I hope that you will stand alongside the good conservatives of Tennessee. They need all the support they can get. But based on what you've seen here, based on what you have seen, do you stand with these Republicans in Tennessee? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNS. This audio for you, then we're going to go to the phone lines. By the way, 844-747-8868, and it is not only Good Friday, but it's also Open Line Friday, so really whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. This is Commissioner Brittany Thornton from Memphis, Tennessee. You might remember her from a few months ago. She actually said that she got triggered by the whiteness of a fellow commissioner. And by the way, the only thing this commissioner, the other commissioner, the white commissioner, did nothing at all, said nothing at all. It was just that she was born a white person. And this black commissioner, Brittany Thornton, in Memphis, said that that she was triggered by this person's whiteness. Anyway, she's weighing in on all of this. And she accused Republicans of lynching these two black guys, saying that, well, you'll hear it for yourself. Cut seven.
So, wake up, and it's the Tennessee 2. What? Like, what? Like, where did the white woman go? Like, really, where did the white woman go? Baby, I'm just trying to figure out. Like, you really somehow justified in your vote that you were going to string up the and let the white woman go. Like, I mean, the audacity, but it's not, it's like, it's crazy because we really need to be okay with this being how people operate. And I think that that's the problem, like, that I see.
Stringing up the N-word, that's what she's accusing the Republicans of doing. I want you to hear all of this so you can know this is not hyperbole. This is critical race theory in practice. This is a decade or more of critical race theory being taught in public schools. Now these people are being elected to office. This is what critical race theory looks like. Let's go to John in Georgia, WDUN. John, what say you?
Hey, how are you today, Todd?
I'm good, thanks. Let's get to it, John.
I just wanted to call in and make a statement about the black Jesus.
Let's get to it.
That John's fixing to give him a baptism in truth. And there's an old saying called, bit dog hollers loudest.
Fair enough.
As far as I'm concerned, the legislators up there have done the right thing. That foolishness needs to stop because the word I won't say on your radio out of respect for you, but I will say it at any other time I choose to, never made reference to skin color or anything else. It was a lazy sloth. So I don't know how they've turned the word they use in their music, in their culture, and talking to each other every day. It seems to be so offensive when a white person says it. Who's the real racist and bigot? Thank you, Todd, and have a good day.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. And again, folks, did the Republicans in Tennessee do the right thing? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We've got Gary in New Jersey, Jerry in Milwaukee. We're going to be taking your calls. Also, we're going to be speaking with the Speaker of the Tennessee House of Representatives coming up next. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Coming up, we have some information on what happened last night at San Francisco State University. Riley Gaines was attacked by a man wearing a dress. We're going to get to that story. Also, we're going to be talking to Congressman Mark Alford from Missouri over the Trump indictment and also the latest intel coming out from J6, where we now know at least 40 FBI agents involved in the planning and the execution of what happened on that day. I want to go, though, right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us from the state capitol, the Speaker of the House, Cameron Sexton. Mr. Speaker, good to have you on the program today.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
I want to get your reaction to the aftermath of all of this. Were you surprised that these lawmakers immediately embraced this as some sort of a racist incident?
No. You knew that was going to be coming. That was unfortunately where we thought they would go, and that's where it appears Representative Johnson, I don't want to say they all went there, but Representative Johnson's the one who made the allegation.
Yeah, and here, as a matter of fact, is I believe Mr. Pearson from Memphis, cut number three.
Justin Jones were expelled, but Gloria Johnson was not expelled.
You cannot ignore the racial dynamic of what happened today. Two young black lawmakers get expelled, and the one white woman does not. That's a statement in and of itself.
I mean, it's insane, Mr. Speaker, because the mainstream media, they're just so ignorant of the facts that they don't want to do their homework, and they are advancing this notion that all you folks up there, yourself included, are a bunch of Klan members.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at it like this. What happened is those three members came to the well where you speak from. They started speaking without being recognized. They pulled out a bullhorn. They started speaking, leading the balcony in protest from the House floor. We had to go out of session, and it took 45 minutes to gain order, and it took a while for them to leave. Sergeant of Arms couldn't get them to leave. Finally, there was a heated exchange with some of their leadership to actually get them to leave the well. But what I will say is, if you go back and you watch Representative Johnson's testimony, they all got the ability to stand in front and make their case. Representative Johnson, the one who made the accusation, she actually, when she tried to defend herself, she pushed herself away from the other two. She said, I didn't use the bullhorn. I didn't yell and scream. I didn't pound the podium. I didn't sit on the podium. That was those two. That was not me. And so she's the one that actually distanced herself from their actions that said they did it, not me.
No, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think I was watching all of these things, watching it in real time, and I thought the exact same thing here. I think, seven Republicans either chose not to vote or, voted not to expel her, and she survived, by one vote? Is that right?
Yes, she survived by one vote. I think there were six Republicans that voted against expulsion, and then there were two Republicans that were there but did not vote.
Disappointed in their decision, because that really ultimately changed the narrative of all of this.
I mean, it did. I mean, it's up to them, or maybe there was three that white lied. It's up to them to make that decision and to explain to their voters on why they did not feel that. Look, I voted for all three. Whether Representative Johnson was distancing herself and trying to not to take responsibility for it, she was up there. She participated. She may not have done as much as others, but she willfully went up there to disrupt the body. And so for that reason, she should have been expelled, and I voted to expel her.
Mr. Speaker, what's the lesson here maybe for other Republican-controlled legislatures around the nation? I mean, you guys really did stand your ground here, and I think you did so doing the right thing and for the right reason. So is there something that other Republicans can learn from what you guys did in your leadership yesterday?
Well, look, what they went to the floor and said we were silent because we couldn't speak what we wanted to on the House floor. Well, there's policies, there's procedures, there's rules about you stay on topic of the bill, you stay under welcome and honor, and you have an opportunity to pass legislation. You have the opportunity to sit on committees. So you have an opportunity to be a voice. You can hold a press conference and be a voice, but you have to do it within the rules. But here's the thing. They say their voice was silenced, and you just had the issue about San Francisco State University, where someone was speaking their opinion and their voice wasn't heard because they started attacking that person. And so one side, the left, will say, hey, you can't do this because they should be able to do anything they want on the House floor anytime to have their voice. And then a conservative tries to speak against transgender issues, meaning men playing against women's sports. They shout her down and actually physically assault her.
And not only that, and we brought this up earlier, Mr. Speaker, in the White House press corps, there's been a raging debate over a black reporter from an African news agency. They will not recognize this man, and he's been accused by the White House of disrupting and violating their rules of decorum over and over and over again. I find that quite ironic now that the president is coming out and attacking you and your fellow Republicans in Tennessee.
Well, how about this? Let's say that three Republicans went up on the House floor, pulled out a bullhorn in the middle of the State of the Union and disrupted it for 45 minutes. What would you think the Democrats would try to do to those three individuals? And so what you have is you have rules and policies and procedures that have been in place that the body votes on, and they all know this is how you're supposed to operate. If you go outside that, there's consequences depending to the degree. We've never had individual members that did what they did, which is lead a protest. And I am thankful that the largest newspaper in Tennessee, the Tennessean, actually said in our press conference afterwards, well, they held a peaceful protest on the House floor. Well, you can say peaceful, you can say not, but the key word is they admitted that they held a protest on the House floor. So regardless of how you feel about what happened, that goes against every rule and decorum that you have in any institution or body.
So what happens next? So these guys have been expelled. Now, does the governor have some sort of a decision to make to vacate those seats?
No, the two seats have already been vacated, and so the local governing bodies have the capability to appoint someone. We'll see who they appoint. At some point, there'll be a special election.
Can they reappoint these lawmakers? Could they end up back on Capitol Hill?
They're saying that I've heard from Metro Nashville may be considering. We haven't seen it yet. And so we're waiting to see if they do. I think there's opinions out there that once you're expelled, you may have to come back through an election. You may not be able to come back through appointment, but we'll see. It's unprecedented in our state. There's never been a path that says that you can do that. So we'll have to wait to see if they do make that appointment, and then we'll have to go to the AG and have a conversation.
I think lost in all of this, a couple of things. I was talking to State Representative Mark White from the Memphis area, and he actually has legislation that would in fact protect children that these two men opposed. That's getting lost in the conversation. But even beyond that, you had six people that were killed, three of them children in a Christian school, and now they're being almost used as props to make these individuals look like victims.
Well, these three individuals, after their 45 minutes of doing whatever you want to call it, I call it a protest on the House floor, leading the balcony in protest, when their members got them in a side room, they asked if they were going to be arrested. Now, Todd, you don't ask to be arrested or if you're going to be arrested if you didn't do something gravely wrong. And so they knew immediately what they did was wrong to the level of wondering if they were going to be arrested. And so that's not how you do it. And so we're going to follow what the House rules are. We're going to continue to follow the House rules. And we're going to look at legislation to pass that protects Tennessee families and children at school, at public, at private. Protect children who are trying to walk home from school or playing in a park. We have legislation to do that. The governor just announced SROs in every public school. We set up a private fund to help private or help a public fund to help private schools do SROs. And so we had the capability. Sorry about that. So we had the capability of doing that. The thing is, here's the thing, Todd. Some Democrats are opposed to having SROs in schools. They oppose it. You're like, why would they oppose? Right, it is. And so what they are is they're trying to make this a political issue. They care about one issue. But why would you oppose having security enhancements at schools? Why would you oppose having SROs in public and private schools if the state's willing to pay for it? Why would you oppose those common sense things?
That's it. Mr. Speaker, we're going to let you get back to it and get to the dogs. What kind of dog you got, by the way? That's
it's a Legato.
I love it. All right. Well, Mr. Speaker, we appreciate you, and I respect you personally. It took a lot of courage to stand your ground in the face of this national mob out there, and we appreciate you standing up for the rules of the House and standing up for the taxpayers of Tennessee.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that very much.
All right. A good man right there, folks, Cameron Sexton. And it's just really sad and tragic what's happened and what these renegade lawmakers doing. Well, ex-lawmakers now. All right. Real quick, before we have to go to break, I want to work in a call here. Suzanne in Georgia. What's on your mind, Suzanne?
Hi, Todd. Every day is a challenge. I'm 65 years old. And when I was growing up, we were introduced to social issues through books like Marlo Thomas's Free to Be a Family and these musical extravaganzas, We Are the World, Live Aid. But there's one difference. Those, whether you believed in them or not, or gone on, were about love. Everything now is about hate.
It is, Suzanne. Everything is about hate. And on this Good Friday, I think a lot of people need to go to church and they need to listen to the preachers and the pastors, and they need to open up that book we call the Holy Bible and just yes. check it. They can start with the Ten Commandments and read from there.
Yes, yes.
Suzanne?
So God bless you. All right.
God bless you, Suzanne. Happy Easter to you and all of the great listeners at WDUN. We got to take a quick break here. This is the Todd Stern Show. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to get into this Riley Gaines situation. She was giving a speech at San Francisco State University yesterday, last night, part of TPUSA and Leadership Institute. A pro-transgender mob descended upon the university. We understand this was part of the university's Queer Trans Alliance or whatever. It's a freak show. And some guy in a dress physically assaulted Riley Gaines, and she was punched. She was attacked. Fortunately, police were there. They were able to get her into her room, and they barricaded her inside to try to keep her away from this mob. Look, here's what needs to happen. They need to arrest all the students involved. They need to expel all the students involved. They need to dismantle this trans queer student alliance, and they need to issue an apology. And if they fail to do any of those things, here's what needs to happen. Donors, you need to pull your money out of San Francisco State University, and Republicans on Capitol Hill need to look at some way of defunding San Francisco State. You're not going to protect the First Amendment? Then by golly, no tax dollars for you. Meanwhile, there is another story happening in New York, in Albany, where a public library is under fire because they're only offering internships for black graduates. So all you white, Hispanic, Asian American librarians or wannabe librarians, yeah, you're out of luck. Bill Jacobson is the founder of Equal Protection Project at Legal Insurrection Foundation. He's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Bill, this is an insane story out of New York.
Yes, it is, and thank you for having me on. It's as you indicated, there is a public library, the Albany, which is the state capital, Albany Public Library. So it's a big system, and they have two paid summer fellowships for future librarians. And by the terms of this, it's only open only to blacks. So Asians need not apply. Hispanics need not apply. Whites need not apply. And so at the Equal Protection Project, which is equalprotect.org, we have sent them a demand letter. And we've said, you've got to stop this. And here in over multiple pages, we let out why this is illegal. And we're going to give them a chance to stop on their own. We don't know if they will. And if not, we will commence some sort of legal action to be determined what it'll look like. But we're not just going to sit back and have open racial discrimination like this.
It really, I mean, just replace the word black with anybody else, and you've got national news trucks showing up in Albany, New York, outside that library.
That's right. And I'm so glad that, you know, we're talking about it on your show, because this needs a lot of attention. I mean, this is something that unfortunately is happening all around the country. We have other cases we've brought, other situations where people, you know, in the part of the diversity, equity, and inclusion have no compunctions about outright open racial discrimination as long as it serves their purposes. And you're absolutely right. The best test for any of these things is reverse the races. If this was a fellowship at a library only open to whites, there would be an outcry, and we'd be part of that outcry. There would be news trucks outside. There would be, it would be a, we'd have a national conversation about it. But because it's limited to blacks, they're, as part of this ideology, they feel that that's okay, and it's not okay.
No, it's not. And you always want the best people, the most eligible people for these internships, no matter the color of their skin. But somehow that flies in the face of this DEI narrative, the diversity inclusion folks.
That's right. The concept is that you can discriminate in order to racially balance various outcomes, whether it's college, and the Supreme Court's going to decide that pretty soon, or whether it's at the library, or in Providence, Rhode Island, we've got a case we've brought involving a new teacher loan forgiveness program only open to non-whites by its terms. They don't, it's not even like a nod and a wink. They're not even trying to hide it. They feel emboldened to do this. And until somebody stops them, they're going to keep doing it.
Bill, I mean, if that's the case, then you need to go after the NBA. It looks like things are a little imbalanced there, right?
Well, that's the one thing they can never explain, which is the NBA is about as close to a pure meritocracy as we have. And it's imbalanced racially because that's the result of that meritocracy. So the mere, but nobody thinks that whites or Asians are discriminated against in the NBA. It just so happens that that's the way it turned out. And so there's this concept that has latched on initially in academia, and now it's in corporations and it's everywhere, that if there's any difference in outcome, it must be racism. But we know that's not true. Different groups, for whatever the reasons, perform differently in different spheres of life. It just happens that way. And we can't presume that it's racist.
Absolutely. And for the record, I, you know, as a fan of sports, I want the best players on the team. I don't care what the color of their skin is. And that's the way it should be. If you're going to the doctor, you want a doctor who's just good, not because they weren't given a diploma, just because they're a specific skin color. So, Bill, real quick, we've got about 10 seconds. Where can people go to get more information about the Legal Insurrection Foundation?
Sure. Our project is equalprotect.org. That's equalprotect.org, and you'll see all the things we're doing and all the cases we're bringing and all of these problems throughout the country.
All right. Well, Bill, we really appreciate your time today. Bill Jacobson, founder of the Equal Protection Project at Legal Insurrection Foundation. All right, folks, hang tight. We've got another hour coming up, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Good Friday to you. And let me tell you something, as good as Friday is, what happens Sunday even better. Great to have you with us today. By the way, our good friend, Pastor Paul Chappell, the senior pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church there in Los Angeles County, is going to join us a little bit later on today. Also, president of West Coast Baptist College. That's going to be a fun conversation. Bad news for you people that follow us on YouTube. So I've been banned from YouTube. It didn't take long. So the other day I shared a video of President Trump reacting to the indictment decision. No commentary, literally just shared the president's video. I got a note from YouTube early this morning telling me, number one, the video had been removed and that I was being punished because I spread misinformation. So now I'm no longer able to post the videos. And look, it is censorship, but that's YouTube's right. The private company, they get to decide whether or not conservatives have a voice. All right, that's fine. So here's what I've done. I'm deleting my YouTube account. And if they don't want conservatives on their platform, I don't want to be there. And I have launched a Rumble channel. It's under my name, Todd Stearns. And I would encourage you to go over there, sign up for it free of charge, and you'll be able to look at all of our videos. So there you go. That's how we fight back around this joint. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us today from the great state of Missouri, representing the 4th Congressional District, Congressman Mark Alford. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
I am doing great, Todd. It is Friday, but Sunday is coming. I'm sorry to hear what happened with you with YouTube. You know, people do not want the truth now, and I think we're seeing that at every turn.
Yeah, I think Facebook years ago labeled me the bad boy of Facebook because I was sharing Bible verses and Bill and Gloria Gaither song titles. So I'm like, whoops, guilty as charged. So there you go.
Well, that's their loss, Rumble's gain.
Congressman, before we jump into it, I was checking out your Twitter feed, and I appreciate you sharing this story about Ronna McDaniel and this Wisconsin vote. A lot of people, including Ronna McDaniel, are blaming this on the pro-lifers, and that sort of, my ears go up when that happens, because I'm wondering if we're about to go squishy on probably the most important issue for Republicans.
Todd, we cannot do that. In my Twitter, I did post something because it really reminded me of what I've seen in churches. People do not want to hear the truth. They are hardened against the truth, and when a preacher, a pastor, delivers the truth from the pulpit, and people stop coming and stop giving money because they don't want to be convicted, they don't want to realize that they are involved in sin, then sometimes the pastors or preacher will soften that message, will dilute it. That is not what God calls us to do. That is not the message of truth. It is not the message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so in the same way, we as a party cannot dilute our message. We cannot form our message around just wanting to get votes or money so that we can succeed. We've got to trust in God that if we deliver the truth, that he will deliver the votes.
I love to hear Congressman speak like that, and I love what you wrote, and I think you and I are probably around the same age. You say, I grew up in a Norman Rockwell America. Now we're living in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Well, it is a stark contrast. I mean, just a few years ago, we had Norman Rockwell calendars hanging on our walls celebrating the goodness of America. And now the woke, broke leftists want us to think that we are living in the worst nation ever created, that our founding fathers are demons, that we have no political heritage to be proud of. And that is absolute lie. And that's what this president has done. That's why our young people have been indoctrinated with these lies. And you see people not wanting to join up to serve in the military. Only 9% of the young people now want to serve in the military because they don't believe in America. And with this president, it has been one lie after another. John Kirby proved it again this week when he came out with his lies, the admiral of propaganda when it comes to Afghanistan.
And again, first of all, blaming the Trump administration for their botched departure. And then Kirby goes on, and these, I can't believe this man was ignorant of this. And I hate to think that someone was intentionally lying, but to say we left no equipment behind and everything was just fine with the withdrawal when you had 13 American service members blown up.
It's more gaslighting of the American people. Maybe he was hiding in his basement like Joe Biden was during the campaign for presidency. But how in the world can you get up there and say with a straight face, after you've served in the military admirably, how can you get up there and lie to the American people and just say you are proud of what happened? What was right about that? Our government abandoned our friends and allies there. They left 13 service members there to die at the airport, on the wall there, and then the president checks his watch when their bodies come home. It is reprehensible that the lies and deception that this administration continues to perpetrate on the American people. They do not respect the American people, and one day all these truths are going to be revealed.
All right, Congressman Mark Alford on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Congressman, I want to get your take on this this indictment of President Trump. Numbers through the roof, fundraising through the roof. Polling data shows President Trump still is the top choice for the base of the party. Are you surprised by any of that?
I'm not surprised. I think there's a certain segment of America that was turned off by President Trump's demeanor, the way he said things. But at the base, at the core, people loved his policies. They loved how he fought for America. They loved how he made America great again, how he put us back on the world stage as a strength and a power to be reckoned with. We would not be having the war in Ukraine with the aggression from Vladimir Putin had President Trump still been in office. We would still be not only energy independent, but we would be energy dominant in America. We would not have the aggression from China towards Taiwan that we're seeing now. President Trump did more for this country in the term that he was in office than I would say most any other president in our lifetime. And until we get back to having someone like him behind that resolute desk, America is not going to be great again. It's going to be weak and powerless and spineless because of President Biden.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. I really appreciate your time on this Good Friday. I know it's pretty busy. Hope you're back home. Are you back home in the district?
I am. We're traveling around the district next week. I'm honored. I'm on the House Armed Services Committee, and we are flying out to California to see the new B-21 stealth bomber, which is going to be a great deterrent against communist Chinese government.
Well, if you're looking for a good church to visit, if you have time, Lancaster Baptist Church is not too far away from where you're going to be, and just good, patriotic, freedom-loving people, great church up there.
Well, I'd love to visit sometime, and we'd love to meet you in person, Todd.
Likewise.
I appreciate all you do for revealing truth in America.
Well, thank you for that, Congressman, and we're going to get you back on. God bless you, and happy Easter.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, Congressman Mark Alford there in Missouri. I like that. I like the way he thinks. And again, we need more Republicans like him. And I don't know about you, but when I heard Ronna McDaniel going on about the pro-lifers and how they cost the election in Wisconsin, I don't believe it. I think the problem here is a messaging problem. I was talking to somebody about this a few nights ago. And the problem is that the Republicans are not willing to go toe-to-toe with the Democrats and expose the radical pro-abortion ideology of the left. If they were able to do that, they would be winning elections left and right. But do not abandon, the Republicans cannot abandon the pro-life platform in the party. They just can't do that. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I am curious to hear your thoughts on Riley Gaines. We shared with you the story. Riley came under attack physically. She was assaulted at San Francisco State University by a man in a dress. Yesterday, by the way, police in Colorado Springs arrested a dude who thinks he's a woman and 19 years old. And this person, this guy was plotting to attack churches and schools in the Colorado Springs area. So, again, going back to what's happening in this transgender movement and what these medications are capable of doing, it is a very dangerous scenario. We're talking with some very unstable people here. So we'll get into that after the break. But I have to talk to you about our good friends at Newsmax. You know, the big media spin all against President Trump, everybody. But not Newsmax. One cable news channel leading the way in real news. And I watch it all the time. Now, Newsmax is polling Americans, and they want to know what you think. They want to know if the Trump indictment is a real crime or just politics. They also want to know if you still support President Trump. Now, you can vote right now in the Newsmax poll by texting the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Takes a minute. And by the way, got to watch Newsmax tonight. Great host Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Eric Bolling, a whole lot more. Newsmax on all major cable systems and streaming TVs. And, of course, you can also watch it on your smartphone. Again, text the word SKIP to 39747.
This week at Macy's, take an extra 20% off everything you need for holiday hosting with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 60% off kids' dresses and dressy looks, 30 to 70% off gorgeous fine jewelry, and 40 to 50% off dining and entertaining essentials. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Star Money Bonus Days. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Yeah. news just in. Vice President Venn diagram is coming to Nashville. Kamala is coming to Nashville. She's going to be meeting with the three Democrat insurrectionists who disrupted the Tennessee House of Representatives. You know what's interesting? She's not coming down here to visit the families of the six Christians who were massacred at the hands of the transgender terrorist. No. You see, the true victims in this are not the children. The true victims are the Memphis Messiah, Black Jesus, Justin Pearson, and this other moron. Justin Jones is his name. They're both competing deities, by the way. It's all very confusing. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Let's start in the beautiful state of Maine, WLOB, the Big Lobster. Mr. Grassetti is on the line. Good day to you.
Good morning or good day, Todd. This is Stephen. I'd like to get some clarification from you if I can. I have a hard time with all these things happening.
Sure.
I would like to know, is this the same Barack Obama that was campaigning in Virginia? I mean, trying to assist the Democratic Party folks in Virginia that was going around talking about the parents and all the fabrications in the school systems. Is this that same Barack Obama with that high integrity and credibility that he exercises everywhere he goes?
Yes, Barack Hussein Obama, I believe is his name. Yes, yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. And then I just wanted to say one other thing.
Sure.
About Mr. Biden, the one that does a 360-degree revolution every 24/7 with propaganda and lies. And one other thing, you were spot on. You have the best way of articulating something when it comes to these situations. And you hit it right on the money. We need to cut Fed money to these universities. I really think the world of you, and God bless you. And boy, we're lucky to have folks like you.
Well, you're kind to say that. Well, you're kind to say that. I have a great team, the best in the business working for me, and they really go above and beyond. And, of course, you've got a great radio station there, WLOP, and they're sharing the news and information that we all need to hear, and so we're pretty grateful for that. God bless you, and have a great Easter weekend. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. By the way, he was talking about this Riley Gaines story, where a man wearing a dress physically assaulted Miss Gaines. You might remember her. She's the NCAA swimming champion. She tied with Leah Thomas, the man who identifies as a woman, but they gave Leah Thomas the trophy and not Riley Gaines. And so now she's giving speeches and she's defending biological female athletes. And my contention here is, and it's pretty straightforward, and I really haven't deviated from this belief, that if you are a public institution and you are receiving taxpayer money and you do not stand up and defend free speech, then you don't need to be using our taxpayer money. You don't deserve it. And I say it's time to defund places like San Francisco State. Let them get their money someplace else if they're not going to defend free speech. And they need to figure out this loser, this pervert, this man wearing a dress who attacked Miss Gaines. And that dude needs to face charges. All right, let's go to the phones. Alan in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hey, Alan, what's up?
Todd, you know, I think believers need to take notice of all the theological words and verbiage that is being thrown around surrounding these Tennessee Democrats and the transgender violence issues, you know, happening right around Easter, because there are theological issues at stake, but the Democrats are just dead wrong about it. And here's why. Critical race theory erases the message of Easter, because it boils down to, if I fall into a certain category because of identity politics, you know, I'm black, I'm gay, whatever, then there is no individual responsibility for my actions, and any discipline for my actions is just racism, sexism, bigotry, etc. So that's what we see with these lawmakers who are crying racist, who are crying, you know, bigot, all these things. They're lashing out against that discipline. But the message of Easter is exactly the opposite. The message of Easter is that there is consequences for our action. we do deserve discipline because we've sinned against God, and critical race theory, therefore, makes God out to be the ultimate oppressor and the enemy and the bad guy. But thank the Lord, Jesus died on the cross for us because there's individual responsibility. And when we accept that individual responsibility, we can participate in the resurrection with Jesus that we celebrate on Easter. And I just feel so bad for the people who are missing out on that hope because they're completely erasing the message of Easter with this critical race theory garbage.
And, you know, Alan, it's an interesting point you bring up because ultimately Easter is also about redemption. And there is a way to salvation. And the critical race theory crowd does not believe that. And that's why they don't have hope. But at the heart of that message, critical race theory, is that God ultimately made a mistake by creating white people. No one wants to really talk about that, but that's at the heart of it. They're deifying themselves. And we've seen this happen with atheism and all sorts of other isms out there.
You know, it's upside down and it's inside out, but thank the Lord that we can celebrate on Easter and just share this with everybody we can. And Christians to be on the lookout for that theological language and just remember that they're trying to erase the discipline and the responsibility, and that's why they don't understand the gospel. They don't understand why Jesus had to die in the first place.
I love it. All right, Alan, got to leave it there. Thanks for listening. We've got some great listeners out there, folks, on all of our radio stations, but I'm partial to our KWAM crowd because I love that radio station, our flagship station. And I own it. And so I'm kind of partial that way. All right, coming up, we've got our good friend Pastor Paul Chappell from Lancaster Baptist Church going to hop on and talk about Easter Sunday. We are going to be getting to your calls as well, so hang tight if you're on hold, 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone call. And by the way, it's Open Line Fridays, so you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can ask me whatever you want to ask today. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
The all-new Nissan Ariya is a fully loaded EV. It's brimming with style and power.
Up to 389 horses of it.
Innovation and intelligence.
E-Force all-wheel drive.
It'll pin you to your seat.
Your very plush seat.
The all-new, all-electric Nissan Ariya. Nissan Ariya with e-Force Expect availability early 2023. E-Force cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. E-Force and 389 horsepower available on Platinum Plus. Nissan calculation using 1-foot rollout testing with long-range battery and e-Force only in 4-1 with e-step-off. These results are for comparison only and should not be attempted on public roads. Drive responsibly. See NissanUSA.com for details.
Bad news. Bad news, people. I know it's Good Friday, but we need to tell you what's happening in Portland. So it turns out that Cracker Barrel is coming under fire because they've announced that they're pulling all the restaurants out of the Portland, Oregon area. And you say, Todd, what does that mean? Well, it means that the culinary scene in Portland, Oregon has taken a dramatic hit. So no more chicken, no more biscuits for you people. Cracker Barrel says it's because of COVID. I just don't believe that. A couple of weeks ago, you had Walmart say they're pulling all their stores out and they're blaming crime. A lot of businesses are now pulling up roots and pulling out of town. So my recommendation, and again, I feel bad for you folks because I like Cracker Barrel just like everybody else. I like Uncle Walt's or whatever, breakfast. Or anyway, my recommendation, go out, buy yourself a cast iron skillet, fry your own chicken, make some cornbread. And you can use the cast iron skillet to fight off the anarchist. So there you go. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from the state of California, our good friend. He is the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist West Coast Baptist College, Pastor Paul Chappell. Hey, Pastor, how's it going today?
I am doing great, Todd, and happy Resurrection Weekend to you.
It's really going to be a wonderful weekend, and a lot of churches here in this area, the Mid-South, having services tonight and all weekend. It's really going to be an exciting time, and I want to talk about that in just a moment. But, Pastor, I have to brag on you. You are one of the most well-traveled people I know. You're always on the road somewhere, whether it's over in the the Philippines or South Korea or Colorado hunting, you know, wild game or Alaska. I don't know how you do it.
Well, somehow with a good staff and with a lot of nights with no sleep, it all works out. So,
well, it's, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people have this idea of, you know, of pastors and ministers, and you always wear a suit and you stay in your office all day, and you know you're very quiet. But you do all of that, but you're also out there, and I know you love to do things like hunting and just getting out and you know, enjoying the countryside.
Well, my family heritage are farmers. All of our family on the Chapel side, farmers out in Colorado. And so it's always been a family tradition to head back that way at hunting season and enjoy the outdoors and hopefully harvest some meat for the upcoming season and really just enjoy fellowship. Our family is a Christian family, and we just enjoy talking about the Lord and his blessings. And so, yeah, it's always great to get outdoors and it's also great to be able to travel some and proclaim the gospel in different venues as well.
And you're also a grill master. I'm bragging on you here. You've had me over to the house a number of times, and you do. And I felt bad because yesterday they announced, I guess, the Biden administration's cracking down on West Coast salmon. So I'm not sure what you're going to be grilling, Pastor, but was good while it lasted.
We're going to grill West Coast salmon.
I love
on our gas range.
I love it. That's awesome. Folks, if you haven't read any of Dr. Chappell's books, you need to. Every time a book comes out, I get a copy of it, and they're just so well written and so relevant to what's happening in our culture and really in our personal lives as well. The most recent book, The Resilient Life, Overcoming the Crises and Anxieties of Life Through Christ, and you can get a copy wherever you buy your books or go to paulchappell.com. You know, Dr. Chappell, before we talk about Easter, I was really intrigued by a column you wrote a couple of weeks ago, and you posted talking about the woke agenda and its influence on churches and colleges. We've been talking about that a lot, and you go in and you provide the details.
Well, there has been a real influence of the culture onto the church, and we're seeing that specifically with the LGBTQ movement, and we're finding that churches in the South, such as in Atlanta with Andy Stanley and I believe over at a church, large church in Orlando and others, have been making statements about accepting these lifestyles as a normal Christian experience and even saying that these people have great faith to come to church and so forth. And of course, everyone should come to church and everyone's welcome at church, but when someone's life is being lived in opposition to Scripture, the responsibility of the church is to speak to that. And what's happening with the woke agenda is that churches are going silent instead of remaining courageous. And not only in that area, but of course, we're seeing a removal from what we would call the complementarian aspects of Scripture teaching that male and female are created equal in Christ, but that God has an order and in the family and in the church and so forth. And as you know, there's a battle raging now in the Southern Baptist Convention with respect to complementarianism versus egalitarianism and whether or not women should be ordained preachers. And all of these questions that are coming up are questions from the culture being forced upon the church. These are not Bible students and theologians that are raising something brand new that no one ever saw before. I don't think Martin Luther missed this. I don't think, you know, I don't think the great scholars of yesteryear, whether W.A. Criswell or whoever you want to name, missed this. It's the culture bringing this debate up, and we need preachers and churches to stand firm on what the Bible says on each of these issues, whether it relates to family issues, whether it relates to social justice. You know, we need to speak clearly and lovingly in these matters.
And I contend, and as Andrew Breitbart so famously said, politics is downstream from culture. And so when you see these things starting to soften in the church, that is going to have an impact downwind, downstream, when we talk about politics. And we just had Congressman Mark Alford on from Missouri. And he said, and he was calling out Ronna McDaniel from the RNC because she's blaming the pro-life movement for this big loss in Wisconsin on Tuesday in the Supreme Court. And Alfred said, I want to read this to you. When churches started losing members and money, preachers started softening the message. Now some want to do that within the Republican Party. Either you stand for something or you don't. Your values, beliefs, and platform should not depend on popularity.
Wow, that's outstanding. And I concur. And the sad truth is that many churches, it's gone so far that many churches this Sunday will not preach a clear death, burial, and resurrection and Jesus Christ alone as the way of atonement for sin. And these are churches that are flying every kind of a flag outside of their church, from the gay pride to the Black Lives Matter and all these social justice flags. But in doing that, they've replaced the true gospel with the false gospel. And then it does trickle down and it affects the society as a whole. And so thank God for churches that are proclaiming the truth of the gospel. And we need to encourage a lot of younger pastors in particular need to be encouraged to stand and to not be afraid to proclaim the whole counsel of the Bible.
And what I find so fascinating about West Coast Baptist College, you guys are literally raising up those preachers, those young preachers, and going really all across America to either pastor existing churches or plant new churches. And these are Bible-believing preachers. They preach the Word of God, and we need, I think we need, to triple that, which is why West Coast is so important.
We really do, and we're praying that God will raise up some supporters that will help us with getting these young people through school and then out into church planting. I met with two yesterday, and one is going to be starting a church in Irvine and the other in Los Angeles city limits, and these are both 30-something graduates who've been assistant pastors for a while, solid doctrine, very effective in their witness. And one of our members of our church heard about the church planting emphasis that we're sharing with the college students and said, I was saving for a swimming pool, but we're going to do without the pool. And he gave $40,000, and we're going to split that amongst these two young men to help them with their church plants. And it's just at the grassroots level that way with us, and we're praying that God will raise up more men. And we're not asking them to join a convention. We're not asking them to, be a part of any organization. It's just young men that are going out under their local churches and doing likewise.
LancasterBaptist.org is the website, folks. That's LancasterBaptist.org. You can also follow Dr. Chappell. Paul Chappell, that's two P's and two L's on Twitter. Dr. Chappell, I'm curious, as you guys prepare for Easter Sunday, Lancaster's a large church, and what's that like getting out there? And you think Los Angeles County, you think people are going to be unwilling or unfriendly to hear the gospel message. What are you guys doing to reach out to folks?
Well, over the last 2 weeks, we have systematically gone throughout our region, which is in the immediate area here, about 500,000 people, and we've been to 80,000 homes with a beautiful brochure that explains the gospel, and it explains our services taking place this Saturday evening at 6, and then again Sunday morning at 9 and 11. And we've also been talking to people about the church and about the Lord. And we've had already several hundred commitments to be here with us on Sunday as guests. In addition to that, we've been running television ads and radio ads as well, and then just encouraging our members. In fact, we gave out little cards attached to Jelly Belly bags, and we told our members, give this out to your friends at work, because they might forget you, but they'll never forget the Jelly Belly. So we've been doing everything we can to get the word out there,
So I love it.
It's been a great effort, and our members have been just very involved this year. And, there's a lot of hate and people threatening and all of the things we see in the culture at large, but there are still a lot of Christians who love the Lord, and they want to share that with others.
Well, I think it's just fantastic what you guys are doing, and I know many churches all over America are knocking on doors as well. Dr. Chappell, always appreciate you coming on the program, and hope you have a great Easter weekend.
Same to you, Todd. And again, thank you for the good work. Glad you're feeling better. And we're praying you have a fantastic Sunday as well.
I'd feel better if I get some of those Jelly Bellies. But
I'll get them out to you right away.
All right. Dr. Paul Chappell, everybody. What a great a great man. And I just so appreciate his books and his messages. And what's fascinating about this whole thing, he was called, you heard that he, I guess, is from Colorado, that area. They had the family there, beautiful mountains and the trees. God called him to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is in the Antelope Valley, the high desert of Los Angeles County. We're talking tumbleweeds. And they came to this church. They grew the church, I don't know, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 members. And they built this college, and it's literally in the middle of the desert, this beautiful oasis. And it's just an amazing story. If you're ever in California, I would make time to go and hear the preaching, visit the campus. And if you're looking for a place to really plug in and donate, that's a very worthwhile cause. Because if we are going to change what's broken in America, it's going to happen in the church. All right? All right. That's where it's got to start. And we will be able to change our politics. But we got to start with the spiritual side of the story. All right, we got to take a break here. By the way, you heard Pastor Chappell on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They are sponsors of our program, and they have some great discounts and deals just for our listeners. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is our special landing page. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Now, listen, they have great coverage. All you have to do is go to their website and type in your address, and they'll show you what the coverage looks like in your area. They also have great discounts for veterans, first responders. They have plans for your family, for your business, whatever you need. They're going to be able to help you out. 972-PATRIOT is the telephone number. That's 972-PATRIOT. Or, again, you can go to PatriotMobile.com. Now, when you enter the promo code Todd, they're going to give you those great discounts, but you got to enter that promo code Todd. We'll be right back. And a very special hello to all of our great viewers on Rumble, rumble.com. Folks, you can check us out there. Subscribe to our channel, and you'll be able to watch our show every day, Monday through Friday. And we post a lot of other great content there. That's Todd Starnes. Just look for me on Rumble, as we have now been banned from YouTube. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Evelyn in Ohio. Hi, Evelyn. How are you today?
I am doing great, and I thank you and the pastor for your wonderful message of Jesus, our Savior, and I'm calling to remind all those Christians that are listening to vote.
Evelyn, in the last presidential election, 20 million Christians stayed at home and did not vote.
I know, and that you mentioned that, and that just bothers me so badly. I'm trying to remember now to start telling people to vote in a year and a half. But all these Christians that are enjoying Easter need to remember to vote.
Evelyn, it's our civic responsibility. And I remember the great Adrian Rogers once preached a sermon about how Christians need to be the most patriotic people in the country. And we need to get out there and do our civic duty. And we need to cast a ballot on Election Day. So there you go.
You're right. Primaries and school boards and everything.
Evelyn,
thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. But before you go, Evelyn, hold on. I mean, it's Easter weekend. I know you're going to be at church, but do you guys do the big meal? And what do you guys do as a family to celebrate?
Well, we just have our youngest son and his wife in our area, so we celebrate with them and Easter breakfast. And my husband's a pastor, and he's preaching Sunday. And he reminds people to vote, too.
I love it. All right.
It's a very special day.
Well, Evelyn, happy Easter to you, and God bless you and your husband. I know he'll be busy on Sunday. And by the way, I'm excited. I love Easter Sunday. I'm doing church on Saturday though, and doing Good Friday service at a church in Germantown, Tennessee. But then on Sunday, Easter brunch, the Peabody Hotel. I got to tell you, folks, best brunch in all of America at the Peabody Hotel. So if you're there, you get to see the Ducks. You know, they're going to be doing their thing. And then they've got like 200, 300 different items on the buffet.
But my favorite, the fried green tomatoes with a little bit of pimento cheese on the side. So I cannot wait. So, all right. So if you're, by the way, so if you're in Memphis, drop by the Peabody and say hello. All right. Let's go to Gary in New Jersey. Gary, you got about 60 seconds. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'll make it quick, Todd. Long time, no time. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for asking, Gary.
So, hey, here in New Jersey, look, we're a blue state, so I'm used to the liberal nonsense. You know, we have, here in my town, we have fought off CRT. You know, they were pushing it down our throats, you know, with at every grade, even the young grades. Same thing with transgenderism. It's just out of hand. They're everywhere. I feel like I go out.
Oh, I think we may have dropped Gary there. My apologies. I'm not sure what happened there, but sorry about that. Gary, give us a call back. Sorry about that. Folks, coming up, hour three of the big show, as we celebrate this Good Friday, a lot going on, 844-747-8868. Want to remind you to head over to our website, toddstearns.com. We have some great things for you to check out there. Number one, our free podcast. You can listen to all of our interviews. You can also download our newsletter. And we have information about our upcoming trip to Israel. That's going to be a lot of fun. November, 7 days, 7 nights in the Holy Land. And we would love for you to be a part of that. And you can find all that information over at toddstearns.com. All right, folks, hang tight on this Good Friday. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
This week at Macy's, take an extra 20% off everything you need for holiday hosting with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 60% off kids' dresses and dressy looks, 30 to 70% off gorgeous fine jewelry, and 40 to 50% off dining and entertaining essentials. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Star Money Bonus Days, going on now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hope you're doing good today. A lot happening around the nation. By the way, the Tennessee General Assembly, you know, people over at Fox News, they actually monitor, they have someone assigned over at Fox to actually listen to this radio program. And in the first hour, we told you about the chaos happening at the Tennessee State Capitol. Now that is the lead story over at FoxNews.com as Republicans prepare to oust three Democrats who tried to incite a riot on at the State Capitol inside the House chamber. Insane. Well, keep you updated on that story. They're literally marching into the chamber with the Black Power fist raised. So there you go. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. I want to go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. This guy's been making a lot of headlines, and I got to see him from a distance at CPAC as we were broadcasting there. He is an announced presidential candidate for 2024. Has a Wall Street Journal op-ed called "The President Can Pardon President Trump." Vivek Ramaswamy joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. What an honor to have you with us, sir.
Good to be on. How are you?
Doing well, and I'm very curious to ask you this question. Why do you want to be President of the United States?
Well, I think it's less about my career and more about the national identity crisis that we're in. You guess most people my age, I'm 37 years old, what does it mean to be an American? You get a blank stare in response, and I think that is a problem in our country. Faith, patriotism, and hard work are gone. I would say that now as a father of two children, I worry that what's taken their place is wokeness, gender ideology, the climate cult, and I think that we're going to lose that shared American identity that binds us together as Americans. I'm an unapologetic America First conservative, but to put America first, we live in a moment where we need to rediscover what America is. And I am running to take that America First agenda further than anyone, including Donald Trump, was able to take it. But I'll also do it in a way that unifies the country, because I'm doing it based on first principles and moral authority, not just vengeance and grievance. And I give a lot of credit to Trump for doing what he did. Respect him, voted for him. But I think that we need to take that now to the next level even further by taking on policies that professional politicians are unwilling to touch. And that's the heart of my campaign.
And Vivek, you've got an amazing, amazing biography, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But you do understand that, let's just say you get the nomination. You know, they're going to do to you exactly what they're doing to Donald Trump. This is really not about Trump. This is about Republicans, and they want to destroy anyone who is a Republican, and especially a conservative.
Absolutely. Conservative is actually the operative word, because there's some Republicans who don't behave with a spine who they're fine to tolerate. But I think if you're in the America First movement and want to put this country first unapologetically, you have a target on your back today. And I think that that's actually a dangerous state of affairs. So look, here's what I think. I want to learn from President Trump's experiences and build on them to go further. I think you only get to be an outsider once. I have fresh legs now, kind of like Trump did in 2015 and 2016, which I respect immensely. But now we need to take this further. And I think one of the things that I intend to do is, like Reagan did in the 1980s, if you're grounded in your own moral convictions, in your own first principles, yes, we can preach about family values and faith in God all we want, but if we're living that in our own lives, I think that actually empowers a leader to go even further with an agenda, taking on issues that even Trump wasn't able to take on. I mean, I've pledged, for example, to end race-based affirmative action in America by executive order, because it was created by an executive order. Every U.S. president since Lyndon Johnson could have done it. They didn't want to because of the fear of the political consequence. I want to abandon this climate cult that shackles the United States, actually declare independence from communist China, actually use our military to secure our border, not just build a wall. This has taken the America First agenda to the next level. But I think that if you're on solid moral footing, doing it based on principles, American principles, that go even beyond the Republican Party, beyond just one man, I think that'll allow us to go even further and to really build on the foundation, yes, that Trump laid, but to go even further. And the sad part is, the fact that we haven't solved that problem is why Trump is being persecuted by an administrative police state today that shouldn't exist. But unfortunately, it does. And we need to dismantle it by being willing to shut down government agencies like the FBI and the administrative police state that's gotten so rotten and corrupt. It is sad to watch that administrative state now go after Trump himself, but also countless other Americans like Douglas Mackey and others. I've said I would pardon them. But more importantly, I think we can do it as part of a foundation that shuts that corruption down and actually goes the distance with moral authority.
You say you were inspired by President Trump's 2016 presidential run. Just curious, who did you vote for in 2016 and 2020?
2020, I voted for Trump. I'll tell you, in 2016, I didn't vote. And the reason is I wasn't even involved in civic participation. I was building a biotech company. I was 29 years old at the time and was just started my biotech company, building it from scratch. I didn't even pay attention to politics. I was a science guy, right? And it ended up being a multi-billion-dollar company. I was just in a different phase of my life, and I think that it was what I encountered in corporate America, actually, that in 2019 awoke me to politics. I ended up having demands on my desk to make statements in favor of Black Lives Matter after the George Floyd death. That was really when I first took an interest in these, you know, in modern culture and politics, because it landed on my doorstep, and that led me on a journey I've been on for the last 3 to 4 years. Now, to actually figure out what the heck's going wrong in America.
And so I want to go back to 2021, because that's when you actually wrote a book, and I've written eight of these things, so my hat is off to anybody who's able to write a book, because it's hard work. You wrote a book called Woke Inc., Inside Corporate America's Social Justice Scam. You know, it's interesting. We're seeing this play out right now with Dylan Mulvaney and all of these companies that are jumping in and endorsing and doing all this kind of stuff. I think Budweiser. But people don't understand that the human rights campaign, a lot of these leftist organizations out there actually have these social scores, and they target businesses that do not bow down to this sort of agenda.
Exactly. That's exactly how it works. And so I had the unfortunate firsthand reality of being able to see that as the elite CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company living in the venture-backed world. So I understand how this game is played. I wrote a book called Woke Inc. It was actually the first book before even wokeness was a topic of discussion on the right. You know, my book is actually one of the things that opened that up. And, you know, the sad part of the story is these companies pretend to care about these causes other than making a profit. They pretend to care about something other than profit and power precisely to gain more of each. And I think it is sad what we're seeing now with the trans movement in America. We saw it with the racial wokeism a few years ago. Now we're seeing it with this trans movement. This is a mental health epidemic in our country. Let's recognize that gender dysphoria is a mental health disorder. I know you're not supposed to say that in public, but that is the truth of the matter. And now these corporations are using that to deflect accountability from the left from other issues they'd rather not be talking about. If you're Nike, the slave labor in your supply chain. If you're Budweiser, other things they don't want you to be talking about the company. This is how they signal their virtue. And the problem with virtue signaling is that at some point, the appearance of virtue becomes even more important than being virtuous itself. And I just think that this trans epidemic is just the latest symptom of that cultural cancer in America, where young people, really all Americans, are so hungry for a cause, for purpose and meaning and identity, that they latch on to these skin-deep social fads without actually filling that hunger with the things that we really need in our lives, the revival of faith, patriotism, belief in a national identity, hard work, family. Those are the things that actually fill our human need for purpose. And instead, we're filling it now with transgenderism, wokeism, and this climate cult. That's where we are as a country, but I'm running to fix it.
So born and raised in Cincinnati, your parents immigrated here from India. I understand the Jesuits gave you your education there in Ohio, and valedictorian. You play tennis. Very good tennis player, from what I understand. So I guess if you get elected, you're going to put in a tennis court there on the White House grounds.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that. It hasn't been on my top priority, domestic policy priority yet.
You got to take a break every now and again, though.
Yeah. My tennis game has dropped since the presidential campaign began, but that's my own choice.
So how is that going? I mean, you've never done this before. I was looking at the political resume. It's a little light, and I get it. Trump never ran, but he had a lot of experience under his belt. How are you doing out there on the campaign trail?
Well, my political resume isn't light. It's non-existent because I've been staying steered clear of politics.
I was trying to be polite, Vivek.
Now I'm a political outsider, right? And so, look, I have built multi-billion-dollar businesses from scratch, several of them. I have led companies as CEO. I've overseen the development of medicine. One's a life-saving therapy for kids. Another one's a drug for prostate cancer. I personally worked on these. I built a sizable, successful multi-billion-dollar company. I'm 37 years old, and I've been educated as a scientist, as a lawyer. I've done a lot of things. I've succeeded at most of the things I've done. But this isn't about me. This is about, I've built my entire career on taking on bureaucracy. I took on the bureaucracy of Big Pharma. I took on the bureaucracy of the woke industrial complex by writing that book, Woke Inc. I took on the bureaucracy of the likes of BlackRock in the ESG movement by starting my most recent company, Strive, that is directly competing against these ESG promoting behemoths like BlackRock and Vanguard. That was successful as well in the first year after I got it off the ground. But now I want to take on the bureaucracy of the federal government itself, where a lot of these cultural problems originate. And I do think it takes an outsider to do it. I think the GOP has to be the party of nominating and putting an outsider, a true non-professional politician, not a career politician, in the White House. We did that in 2015 and 2016 with Trump. That needs to become the tradition. I'm the outsider in this race this time around, and I intend to take that same America First agenda even further than anyone, any professional politician, and even Donald Trump ever did.
When was your first vote for president? When was the first vote you cast for president? Was that 2016 or 2020?
It was 2020.
All right. So, and how long have you been a Republican?
I've been a conservative for a long time. I don't think of myself as a partisan, but culturally speaking, I've been a cultural conservative probably since I was in high school. That was actually the product of my Catholic upbringing, Catholic education. During my upbringing, we're a religious household. My parents are immigrants. They came from India. I was raised in a Hindu household, which is where I practice today, but also was raised in Catholic schools and picked up, I would say, that cultural conservatism dating back to high school. But I wasn't politically active in any way. I studied science. I was a nerdy guy in the lab for most of college, very academically focused, got into the world of biotech after I graduated. So that was my world. But my mission to really enter, you could call it the culture war, began when it really just got under my skin to say, I've built a successful company. I'm developing potentially life-saving medicine for people who need them. That should unify people. And yet, if there's a Black Lives Matter protest, now as a CEO, I'm supposed to say something about it. I refused to, and actually several advisors to my company then resigned on the back of that. And to me, that was my wake-up call to say that, look, if I couldn't speak freely and I was in the successful position that I was, then imagine what it was like for the rest of the country. And that's what sent me on this crusade over the last several years. So this is new for me.
Well, Vivek, we're going to get you back on. A lot of questions, and I like what you have to say, and I wish you the very best out there on the campaign trail, and God bless America.
Thank you. God bless our country. I appreciate that.
There you go, folks. Vivek Ramaswamy, you can actually, we've got a direct link to his website on the live show blog, vivek2024.com, and you'll be able to get more information. So the guy back in 2016, his estimated net worth, $600 million. He and his wife is a professor at Ohio State University, the medical center there. And they have two boys, two sons. And as you heard, he was educated by the Jesuits, but he and his family are Hindu. So I'm curious, what do you think about this guy? Never did vote until 2020. That's it. He cast his vote for Donald Trump. I don't think anybody's actually asked him those questions before, but I'm kind of curious. So what do you think about Vivek Ramaswamy? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This week at Macy's, take an extra 20% off everything you need for holiday hosting with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 60% off kids' dresses and dressy looks, 30 to 70% off gorgeous fine jewelry, and 40 to 50% off dining and entertaining essentials. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Star Money Bonus Days, going on now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
All right, so the White House has released its review of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, completely botched by Joe Biden, and the entire document literally blames Donald Trump. They are blaming Donald Trump for what happened in Afghanistan. What a load of crapola this is, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not even grade A crapola. The fact of the matter is, the blood of those 13 American service members, that blood is on the hands of Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, Joe Biden. It was Joe Biden who did all of this. Never forget it. Anyway, developing story, that news just breaking out of Washington. Let's go to the phones here. And again, folks wanting to weigh in on Vivek Ramaswamy, who is running as a Republican. The first time he ever voted in his life was for Donald Trump in 2020. That's what he told us a few moments ago. And he wants to declare war on wokeness in America. Yet, what did you got to hear from the guy? Do you have questions? 844-747-8868. Let's go to New Orleans. Our good friend, the queen of the Big Easy, Miss Janice. Hey, Miss Janice, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
I'm good, thank you.
How you been?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. No, in the primary, I think I'll vote for Trump. But I do have to say that the more I listen to this Vivek Ramaswamy guy, he is kind of interesting, you know?
He has a fascinating story, and again, I'm always sort of, I wouldn't say suspicious, but I'm curious about someone who has not been involved in the political process. I want to kind of get a feel for them and where they're coming from. There's not a lot on that out there just yet, but I suspect when folks start digging in and they start taking him seriously as a candidate, we're going to find out more information and sort of fill in the blanks. But I like what I've heard so far.
So do I. But like I said, I think in the primary, I'm going to have to push that button for Trump.
Trump's still your guy, Miss Janice.
Yeah.
By the way, are you guys dealing with some pretty severe crime in New Orleans like a lot of the other major cities?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, we are. We certainly are. And they're trying to say, oh, that it's down a bit. But, no, ask the people whose cars have been stolen and people that have been carjacked and such. Now, there's a lot of crime here in this city. There really is. And it just doesn't make me comfortable.
Mm. All right. Well, you be safe out there, Miss Janice. Always good hearing from you. And glad to know Trump still has your vote. All right. Thank you for listening to us. I haven't heard from Miss Janice in a while. Always good to hear from her, our good friend. You know, they're almost, I think, sisters are really not related, but they ought to be. Miss Carlotta out of Rhode Island. We haven't heard from her in a while. One of our regulars back in the day, Miss Carlotta and Miss Janice from New Orleans. Speaking of that, and we'll get into more of this a little bit later on. Some poor guy in Memphis, he's 70-something years old, and the poor guy was attacked right outside of his house, 72 years old. A bunch of dudes in black hoods and masks followed the guy. They didn't realize, though, that the 72-year-old man's son was sitting in the garage, and he had a pistol, and he started firing. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. All right, got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. State Senator Phil King out of Texas has introduced a new bill that would mandate the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom in the Lone Star State. How do you feel about that, ladies and gentlemen? You think that's a good idea to post a monument, a poster, reminding children of the Ten Commandments in their public school classroom? 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line? Tim Barton joins us. He is the president of Wall Builders. We're big fans of that group, wallbuilders.com. Tim, good to have you with us today.
Well, Todd, good to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
All right, let's talk about this. It seems like a pretty noble effort here, displaying the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms.
I think it's a great idea for several reasons. But one of the arguments we've heard from leftists, especially since the Nashville shooting, is, right, we need to regulate guns, and obviously the argument is we want to stop violent crime, but there's a level of irony when you criminalize someone for killing people, right? In many states, there's a death penalty if you go around murdering people, and yet we are saying that we should not present the idea to students in their classrooms, things like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. It seems illogical. It's intellectually dishonest to presume that we want a certain behavior from them that we're not guiding them with. The Ten Commandments has been the basis of all morals for the Western civilization, for the Western world, really since the inception of the Western world. And so to me, it seems very logical. There's a lot of good historic and legal precedent for this as well. But certainly from a common sense perspective, this just makes sense to go back to telling kids basic notions of morality, like don't kill other people.
I think it's a pretty great idea, and when you go back in history, which is what you guys do there at Wall Builders, there is plenty of evidence that American public school classrooms were not only pro-Ten Commandments, but also pro-God, pro-Bible, pro-prayer over the decades and generations.
Yeah, absolutely right. In fact, if people want to go back to the very first textbook printed in English in America, it was called the New England Primer. And in the back of the New England Primer, and this was the first textbook used in public schools education in America that was printed in America. And so essentially, this is the first grade textbook. This is where everything started. And in the back of that New England Primer, there was questions on faith and theology that they wanted students to know to learn these things. Well, there are 43 questions in the back of this New England Primer on the Ten Commandments. And I don't even know how you're going to come up with 43 questions on the Ten Commandments, but when you start reading them, it actually makes sense. What is the first commandment? What's required in the first commandment? What's forbidden in the first commandment? But they wanted students to know this. This was part of the foundation of education. If you go forward to McGuffey's Readers, where more students utilize, I think 100 million of McGuffey's Readers sold in the 19th and 20th century. I mean, more students have used these than virtually any other textbook. When McGuffey's Readers, he had the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have always been a part of education. And it wasn't until 1980 when an activist Supreme Court determined that, you know, that's probably been enough of the Ten Commandments in classrooms. Let's not do that anymore. 1980s when activist judges said no more. Well, fortunately, because of the Supreme Court last summer overturning some of the bad precedent, we are at a place where we once again can restore some of the basic moral values we used to teach kids, which includes once again posting copies of the Ten Commandments.
And again, going back in just recent history, I remember as a kid growing up, the Gideons would show up at our school, these Christian businessmen, and they would give the children a Bible. Can't do that anymore. In a lot of schools, you can't pray anymore. A lot of schools, they won't let you post the Ten Commandments. And yet the drag queens are welcome in with open arms. God is not welcome, but the drag queens are.
It is a very sad position we find ourselves in. But this is also, it's no surprise then that we're seeing the breakdown of morals in society. We're seeing more violence and we're seeing more crime activity in all these cities that are having issues. When we are saying not only that there is no God, which for the founding fathers, their very premise of the Declaration, when they said we owe these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they're endowed by their creator with certain rights. We always knew in America there was a God, and God has given us rights. God has given us standards, and certainly the most basic of those standards were the Ten Commandments. And the idea that, Todd, as you mentioned, that we are now in place that we're telling kids that there is no God, you can't talk to God, you can't pray, we won't read about God, but we're going to sexualize children and do these drag shows for elementary school students. This is immoral and it's evil. Fortunately, there's gentlemen like Phil King in Texas who are working to restore some basic sanity and morals to classrooms.
I like to hear this. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Tim Barton from wallbuilders.com. That's wallbuilders.com. And Tim, I know that you guys are out there. You have a pro-family legislative network. What's that all about, and what do you guys hope to accomplish there?
Yeah, this is something that one of the offshoots of what we do at Wall Builders with American History is trying to restore the foundation of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, those God-given rights the founding fathers talk so much about. And so we have a legislative network that we work with legislators all over the U.S. trying to do things to defend the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and even basic moral values like we're talking about today. And so this is something that we are actually working nearly in all 50 states to try to do things every year to preserve family values, traditional values, constitutional principles along the way. So it's just one of many outlets that we do at Wall Builders to try to make a difference in the nation.
All right, very good. And again, the email or the website address is profamily.com and wallbuilders.com. Tim, hope you and your family have a great Easter weekend.
Thanks so much, Todd. You too.
All right. There you go, folks. Tim Barton, good people over at Wall Builders. Again, wallbuilders.com and profamily.com. We have links to those websites over on our live show blog. You know, after the indictment, a big media spin is all against President Trump. It's insane. But one cable news channel leads the way in real news, and that's Newsmax. I watch it all the time. Now Newsmax has a brand new poll asking Americans if the Trump indictment is for a real crime or is it just politics. And they also want to know if you still support President Trump for president in 2024. Well, you can vote right now. Text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Takes just a minute. And be sure to watch Newsmax with incredible hosts like Greta Van Susteren, Eric Bolling, and Rob Schmidt. Newsmax is on all major cable systems and streaming TVs. So again, vote right now. Text the word SKIP to 39747. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. You know, I almost forgot. We've got a trivia question. And by the way, tomorrow, Good Friday, we're going to have some fun tomorrow on the program. But we do have a trivia question, and we're going to open up the phone lines.
You're going to get a copy of my latest book, co-written with Michelle Cox, called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. So here's the question. There was a survey done by the National Confectioners Association, and they asked Americans, how do you eat your chocolate bunny? How do you eat your chocolate bunny? Is it ears first or feet first? So you got a 50-50 shot at getting this right. Is it ears first or feet first? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, there's a great story up on ToddStarns.com. You got to check this out. Albany Public Library. White people are not allowed to apply for internships with the public library. As a matter of fact, the only people allowed to apply are black students, Hispanics, Asian Americans, whites. You are not allowed to participate. This is part of the Albany Public Library's Equity Fellowship. And they say the problem is there just are not enough black librarians. So they're only going to allow interns to be black. If you are white, you're just out of luck. So much for judging people based on the content of their character. So if you want to check this story out and you're at the library, go over to the Dewey Decimal System, and this is filed under flat out racist. There you go. All right. Let's go to Manny in North Carolina. Manny wants to weigh in on the trivia question. Hi, Manny. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd. I'm glad you're back on the radio.
Well, you're kind to say that. It feels good to be back on the radio. We're going to try to help you win a prize here. So the National Confectioners Association, they did a survey, and they asked Americans, all right, let's talk about the bunny. How do you eat your chocolate bunny? Is it ears first or feet first? What do you think most Americans said, Manny?
Well, I learned from my father, I learned from my mother, I learned from everybody else. I go ears first. My kids do the same thing. It may be wrong, but that's what we do.
All right, let's, yeah, you know what, that's right. Yeah, it's ears first. 78%, Manny, so 78% of Americans say they eat the bunny by the ears first. 17% go feet first, and 5% say they eat the butt of the bunny. They eat the bunny butt first. Those folks are a little kinky. A little too kinky for
my taste. I can see that. During these times, yes, sir. I can see that.
I think that's the Portland, Oregon crowd. It's maybe Berkeley. All right, Manny, congratulations. Hang tight. We're gonna get your info, and we're going to send you a copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. By the way, this is a terrific present. I talk a lot about our books because I'm very proud of them, but our Daily Biscuit is one of my favorite, and it is a great Mother's Day gift. So if you have a mom, grandmom, if you have an aunt, you want to get them a copy of this book. And you can do that at your favorite bookstore, or I'm happy to sign, autograph a copy for you. You can get yourself one at ToddStarns.com. That's ToddStarns.com. Just go to the store tab and all that info will be there. All right, let's go to the phones. Pat in North Carolina wants to talk about the Ten Commandments. Hi, Pat. What's your take on that?
Hey, well, you know, I grew up in North Carolina and went to school in Kentucky growing up, and we always had the Ten Commandments in our auditorium, five on one side and five on the other. We went in for assembly, did the Pledge of Allegiance, and they were always visible to us. I think it would be good to put them back in the schools because so many children are unchurched, and they don't even know the Ten Commandments, and they are rules that God gave Moses for us to live by. And they certainly should be available to all children so that they know. And that's my take on it.
Pat, you know, I grew up in the 70s, and I remember in our school we had the same thing. I think they were posted in the auditorium. We had 11 commandments. I wasn't sure about this, but the 11th was like, thou shalt be nice to your teacher. I don't know. I was a little suspect on that one, but but everything else added up.
Thank you for bringing these matters to the public's attention. I appreciate it, and I enjoy listening to you.
Well,
I met you over at the Sanitary in Moorhead.
The Sanitary Fish House. I miss that place.
Yeah, I know. I got one of your books. So anyway, and I'd love to have the biscuit book, but I do eat my bunnies by the ears first, too.
That's good to know.
I hate my bunnies
I'm soft, you know. I don't like to eat my bunnies.
I understand.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
A lot,
I'm glad you're
man.
Better.
You're kind Bye-bye. To say that. Thank you, Pat. I'm not laughing at Pat. I'm laughing at Paul Shanklin, who just sent me a text message. He says, what part of the I can't do it. What part of the bunny did the transgender advocate bite off first? Paul, go stay into the corner. Wow. All right. 10 Commandments in the classrooms. You think that's a good idea? 844-747-8868. Now we're talking transgender bunny rabbits. I just can't today. Ronnie in North Carolina, WSIC, our great station there. Hi, Ronnie. What say you?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Glad to do it.
I just want to say that I think the Ten Commandments should definitely be in the classroom, and should our Constitution should hang right by it. But, you know, we talk about taking our country back and changing. The only way we're going to do this is going to, we're going to have to be very, very patient, and we're going to have to start with kindergarten and work our way up just exactly the way they've taken it away from us. We're going to have to get back in the schools and teach our kids what America is all about. If not, we'll never get the country back. We can say and do whatever we want, but if we don't get back in the school and we don't catch them when they're young, it's gone.
Ronnie, give us a decade. Give us a decade in the classrooms, taking over the schools, and we can take back the country. We can fix all of this.
I think it'll take more than a decade, but we gotta work at it. We gotta be patient and just keep going. It took more than a decade to lose it.
Yeah,
everybody thinks it just happened in the last couple of years, but it's been leaving us for a long time.
Not paid attention. Going all the way back to the '60s.
Exactly. We've not paid attention, Mr. Storms. We gotta stand up and pay attention. If we don't, it will be gone, and it won't be here for our children.
Well said.
Anyway.
All right, Ronnie. Appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. I think we have some Jason Whitlock audio. Let's listen to a little bit of that from Tucker Carlson last night. He was talking about secession.
You know, finding common ground is impossible with people who think men can become women, who told us, hey, look, we just want two men to be able to get married, and there's no slippery slope. And that was a lie. And we've seen the slippery slope. Now it's drag queens reading books to kids. Now it's taking kids to drag queen shows. Now it's mutilating kids and infecting them with gender dysphoria and using it as an excuse to cut off their breast or cut off their penis. You can't have peace. You can't have partnership with these people. There are so many lies stacked on top of lies from the whole Black Lives Matter, George Floyd deal, and oh, the police are just out indiscriminately killing black men and it's so dangerous because of the police. That's all a lie and everybody knows it. We can't find common ground with people who have no respect for the truth, no respect for justice, no respect for fairness. We have to think about going our separate ways. And whether that's through secession or whether that's through some sort of national divorce, it has to be on the table because you just can't find common ground with people this delusional who think that they're God and they can make up the rules.
There you go. That's Jason Whitlock on Tucker last night. By the way, you folks in North Carolina, we've been following the story of Tricia Cotham, the Democrat who has switched parties, giving the Republicans a veto-proof majority in the House. And it's fascinating. She is pretty much a leftist. I mean, she's pro-abortion, pro-LGBT rights. She's to the left of us on a lot of the issues. But she said that she got targeted by her own party because she flew the American flag and she prayed in the name of Jesus whenever she delivered a prayer at the state capitol. And that's why she decided to leave the party. She said she was bullied by her own party. And I'm not surprised by this. You know, back in 2012, I was at the DNC meeting in Charlotte. And that was the year the Democrats booed God. I think I wrote a book about this, Godless America. I think that was documented in this. And they actually voted to remove God from the party platform. Talking about the Democrats. By the way, after that happened, this is a true story. After that happened, there was a severe thunderstorm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't think that was a coincidence. All right, folks, it's been a great day, busy day. There's still rabble-rousing up in Nashville. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. Good Friday coming up tomorrow, and it really is good, but I got to tell you, what happened on Sundays, even better. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
This week at Macy's, take an extra 20% off everything you need for holiday hosting with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 60% off kids' dresses and dressy looks, 30 to 70% off gorgeous fine jewelry, and 40 to 50% off dining and entertaining essentials. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Star Money Bonus Days, going on now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.